Our New Testament lesson comes from the writing of Paul to the Galatians. Galatians 2, verse 19 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. May God bless the reading of his word to us today. I wanted to first of all start off by saying thank you to Pastor Bryant for inviting me to fill in for him today. And I'm glad it's just preaching and not all the other stuff that goes with being a pastor for a whole week. I remember when I became a pastor, I had worked in a steel mill and in a factory in Western PA while I was going to college. And my dad had 4 weeks of vacation, and I had to work, I think, a year or so before I got 1 week. And I became a pastor. I was 26, and I had 4 weeks vacation. And my dad said, "How the heck do you get that?" I said, "I don't know, but I'm going to take it." I felt a little guilty that first year. By the time the second year rolled around, I thought, "My God, I need 4 weeks vacation. That is an exhausting job. It's great, it's exciting, but it's pretty draining." And so it's good that Pastor Bryant and family have a chance to refresh. I guess they ran from one vacation down south with family, and then were here a week, and now they're up north. But God bless them and give them a refreshment. You folks are very gracious as I arrived this morning. I want to thank several folks, Sandy back there running the slides, and Bob, and Bruce, did double time today, greeter with his wife, and then was lay leader, and Marcus, and Bob. Matter of fact, one thing I remembered from 2 years ago was the guy didn't put me to sleep with the organ music. Kind of kept me engaged, threw in some stuff, and I thought, man, wish I would have had an organist like that when I was a pastor. So, good job. Good job. Well, my sermon title this morning is Stinking Thinking. And there's a lot of reasons why I've chosen that title, Stinking Thinking. And so if you stay awake for the next 20 minutes, you're going to find out why. The only guy I'm worried about is this guy right here, because he's sitting behind me, has to look at the side of my head in the back. And when I became the associate in Brighton, I said to Pastor Dan, "I don't mean to do it, but if I sit behind you and look at your head for 20 minutes, I'm going to fall asleep. It's not going to look good for you or for me." So I went down and sat with the congregation. But you're up for the job, right, Bruce? Okay, thank you. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, and so we would not have said in a kind of a formal way, stinking thinking. We would have said, stinking thinking. Anybody here from Western PA, Pittsburgh area, up towards Erie, anything like that, ever spent any time there? Well then, all right. So you know how in Western PA, we really slaughter a lot of vowels. And we just don't say it the way the rest of, particularly the East and Midwest does. And I didn't know that was a problem until I went to seminary near Boston. And my one roommate was from Massachusetts, another one was from New York, and I figured out right away, those guys have accents. Yeah, they've got accents. And then when we were talking about government and something was said about our first president, I said, "Oh yeah, George Washington." And they said, "Who? George Washington." They said, "Where are you from?" "Western PA." He says, "That's Washington." First time I ever heard the president's name pronounced that way. Well, I guess I wasn't listening to the evening news or whatever and heard, you know, rest of the world. So, in Western PA, we would say stinking thinking. Matter of fact, stinking thinking, because stinking thinking stinks. Now, it's easy to see stinking thinking in other people. Not so easy to see it in ourselves. The bad attitude, the negativity, worrying or envying, being self-centered. How easily, as followers of Jesus, we can slip into the false narratives of the world, which leads to stinking thinking. Might makes right. Money brings us all the joy that we can possibly want in life. Having a perfect body and the right person beside us that look perfect leads to ultimate fulfillment. Stinking thinking in school. Now, kids have recess, but often they encounter bullying or cliques and they don't fit in. Around the house, we see stinking thinking by anger or nagging or the cold shoulder. It's interesting. My wife is Swedish. They're known for being very reserved and quiet. I'm a Slovak with some German mixed in there, and we're pretty vocal. And when I got vocal about stuff, I scared that poor Swede gal to half to death. And then when she was upset with me, it'd be quite a while before she'd say anything. We kind of had to learn how to love each other on a daily basis in ways that drew us together and not kind of forced each other apart. Stinking thinking can show its ugly head at work through gossip, through criticism, through all kinds of ways of undercutting others so that we might look a little better. How about driving? Tailgaters. They tick me off. Makes me want to get right on their bumper when they pass me. Or aggressive drivers, or people that give those unfriendly waves. It kind of just gets us churned up inside when that happens. Well, thank God we don't have stinking thinking in the church. Or do we? You know, I think that's the third week in a row she wore that same outfit at church. My goodness, George is starting to put on some weight here. When I brought my kids to church, they sat still. Didn't cause all the commotion that those folks over there with their kids are doing. Why do they always want to make change? Things are great the way we've always done it. Now, when I was just starting out, I liked change. I thought it was great. Now that I'm 71, I'm not so hot on change. Our perspective really affects how we view the rest of the world. But I've come to discover that as much as I don't like change in our family structure, I was pretty upset with God when my dad died. He was a big hero in my life. Wasn't perfect. I wasn't a perfect dad to my three kids, but there's a deep love there. And that was a change that took me quite a while to work through. I was pretty ticked at God for quite a while that a good guy like that had such a bad stroke and a long period where he couldn't do hardly anything. And so through the years, God's been working on my stinking thinking. He's not done with me yet, and I'm sure he won't be until the day he calls me home. So I have to work at it. I mean, I really have to work at it. And so I try to begin in the morning. And in the morning, on a good day, I'm already getting upset thinking about what I have to do today or what I didn't get done yesterday or what somebody said. On a good day when I wake up, I recite Psalm 118. For this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And once through isn't enough. And then I sometimes sing it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has... Come on, join me. That the Lord has made... I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. Not bad for a bunch of Presbyterians, thank you. I literally do that. I did that this morning when I got up. A book that I came across early in my ministry called Psalms of My Life by a guy named Joseph Bailey kind of made me look at my own thinking sometimes. This particular psalm is called A Psalm of Today, kind of a book of psalms and prayers. And it goes this way. This is the day the Lord has made. The Lord? Today? Yesterday perhaps could claim your credit, or hopefully tomorrow, but not today. This disappointing day so filled with problems, needs, despair, and doubt. This is the day the Lord has made. And making it, He'll give the strength and hope to take me through. This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. I don't know about you, but every day, God's got to do attitude adjustment in my life, or I'm not fun to be around. I remember this old lady in my church in Quincy. Anybody know where Quincy, Michigan is? Come on, it's not that far away. It's 100 miles from here. Over near Coldwater, Hillsdale, that area. I was pastor at the Union Church there for 24 years until I moved to Brighton in 2002. And this elderly lady gave me a prayer. And as I was thinking about this when I worked on this message, which you guys are hearing the second time. Folks in Brighton heard it the first time back in the spring. That was actually, we went through a transition time. Pastor Dan McCulloch, and many of you knew, we did services together, retired the end of last June, and we had an interim, and then I got to preach a few times in that time when the interim was gone, or after he left before the new guy came. So we have a new pastor, and we're moving forward, and you know, like that, he went through a change when Pastor Harris retired, and Brian came into town, and so I got thinking about all that when I was working in this message, and I thought about that prayer that Callie Kurtz gave me. And then as I saved it, and as I found it, I looked at that and I thought, I always said the senior citizen gave me this prayer. Now, I'm 71. I'm the same age Kelly was when she gave it to me. But the prayer still speaks to me, and I hope it does to you, and it goes like this. Dear God, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, I haven't been grumpy, nasty, or selfish, and I'm really thankful for that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot of help. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Is that true or true? Yeah. And so when stinking thinking kind of starts taking over in us, we can either let it run its ugly course and we can stink all over other people and pollute our own lives, or we can try to change it. I have to tell you, it's a daily task and it's not easy. And for a long time, I just thought that was my total responsibility to change that. And then I started looking at some scripture that made me aware that God's a part of that process. Now, memorizing scripture or having on an index card, you'll see me reading from some index cards in a few minutes because my memory's okay, not as good as it used to be, not as bad as it's going to be. And so I write some things down in index cards and keep it around so that I can just review things that are important to me. But most of us who had a chance to be a part of the church for a good part of our lives know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him, should not perish, but have eternal life. And so when I start having bad thoughts about other people and seeing their flaws and all that stuff, I remember God loved them. Not just you, Dave. So I need to repeat that to myself. The New Testament lesson that I read, matter of fact, Bruce really liked the scripture that I picked out. It was like one verse. That's easy to do. So the New Testament lesson is basically one verse from Galatians chapter 2. And just kind of let it sink in. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. I used to just run through that verse and kind of just, yeah, I know I was crucified with Christ because I screwed up many times. I sinned. I needed to be forgiven. When Christ died on the cross, he died for my sins. I was crucified with Christ. The next part of that just escaped me for years. And it is no longer I who live, it is Christ who lives in me. And so Christ lives in us as followers of him. Are we worthy of that? Not so much. But God's grace is bigger than all the junk that we can just have turned up inside of us so easily. And Galatians 2 goes on to say, in the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so the life that you and I are living right now is Christ's followers. We live by faith in the Son of God. We put our faith in him. But then he puts his faith into us because the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can tell you I do a little word study and learn some things, and I read some commentaries and talk to people smarter than me, and found out that the Greek verb used here, I think it's verb. My wife's an English teacher. My gosh, I got corrected so much, I finally said, honey, give me a break. I'm a pastor, I don't point out all your sins, so please give me a break, okay? But anyhow, this verse, and the life I now live in the flesh can be translated, I live by faith in the Son of God. Or it can also equally correctly be translated, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that just struck me that God has faith in me because through his Spirit, he dwells in me. And so Christ is working in my life and in your life to help us to be more like Jesus. Is that cool? I think it is. Somebody that I've come to appreciate, haven't met him yet, I'm going to go hear him preach or teach sometime. His name is James Bryan Smith. He's written three books. The first one was entitled The Good and Beautiful God. Second one, The Good and Beautiful Life. The third one, The Good and Beautiful Community. Wonderful Christian guy. I'm going to make a read with you briefly from this third book of his on the good and beautiful community. But if you want to grow in your spiritual life, become more like Christ, I highly recommend the Good and Beautiful Life Community and Good and Beautiful God series. One of the things he pointed out in there is to just remind us that Christ dwells within us. So in the morning when I sing, this is the day the Lord has made, I also say, I am David, in whom Christ dwells. And I live in the unshakable kingdom of God. I like to say that those great words and insights were mine, but they weren't. I stole them from James Bryan Smith. And any good pastor has stole probably 85% of the material they have without giving footnotes and references and stuff, because none of us are all that smart by ourselves. But together, God does some really great things. So, I am David, in whom Christ dwells. And I live in the unshakable kingdom of God. That's my identity as a follower of Christ. Do I remember that identity? Not all the time. So there is a remedy for our stinking thinking. And again, it comes from Galatians 2:20. Actually, that's a little too soon. So if we can go back to that in a second. I want to talk about another way of thinking, and it's called seeking thinking. And I take that from Jesus' words in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says, "But seek first His kingdom, God's kingdom, and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And so Jesus calls us to be seekers, knowing that we have to hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. If we think we have it all ourselves, there's not much room we're leaving for God. So seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. And then He does the work in us because He dwells within us. And so, if you want to throw that slide up now. Stinking thinking is deadly, rotten, and no one enjoys being around it. But seeking thinking is living a life with Christ's Spirit dwelling within us. If anybody's getting kind of thoughts about the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, don't spend a lot of time trying to figure that out, because I've tried for 40-some years as a pastor. It's a gift. God is three persons in one God. The Father created, the Son was a part of that. The Son came, and Jesus lived among us, died for us, was resurrected, went to heaven, and the Spirit came, and they work together. There's no competition. And so when we talk about Christ dwelling within us, the Spirit dwells within us, we're connected to God through all of that. But seeking thinking is the work of the Spirit as we allow Him to draw us to the Father. And we talk about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I used to drive myself nuts trying to do all that stuff. And then it started becoming clear to me that that was the work of the Spirit. You can't just pick out one of the fruits. They're all a part of the Spirit living within us. And it's inviting Christ to live in us, the Spirit to dwell within us, to change us, to make us more like Him. I'm going to just read a few passages in closing that say the same thing, basically, about God dwelling in us. And when you go home, you know, it's nice if you remember the stinking thinking and some funny things I've said, but I really want you to take home the idea that God loves you so much that He lives in you. And He's changing you. He's changing me, and He's making us more like Jesus. And if we just step into that and ask Him to help us, He will. So from 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation, a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. And that can also read because of how the Greek is. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old is passing away. Because I know for me, it isn't totally gone. I still struggle with my old self. And everything new is becoming new. Ongoing thing. It's not a done deal until we're in heaven. In Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So we're in Christ, He's in us. Good news. Colossians 1. God chose to make known the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of the glory of God comes about every day as we just say, Christ be in me today. As a parent, as a kid, as an employee, as an employer, as a retiree. And that's a cool status. I love being a retiree. It gives me a lot of freedom. Another one from John's Gospel. Jesus says, abide in me and I abide in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. So Christ abides in us. Those are all scriptures that point that out so wonderfully. I'm actually going to skip reading this part because it takes a little bit longer and I've been a little bit of a windbag today and threw a lot of extra stuff in there when I got going. But I do highly recommend James Bryan Smith's books on the Good and Beautiful God, Community and Life. And I think Pastor Bryan has the first book of the Good and Beautiful God. So, as I said earlier, and I've said it a couple times, I remind myself that I am David and who Christ dwells. And I want you to take that home with you. And you're more likely to do so if you say it right now. So I'm going to say, I am David in whom Christ dwells. And as I'm saying that, I want you to say that. If your name's David, you can say David. If it's not, then say your own name. Okay? So let's do that together. I am David in whom Christ dwells. Let's believe that. Let's affirm that. I am David in whom Christ dwells. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you love us so much and that you want to be with us and live within us and invite us to be a part of your kingdom. And so, God, help us to be kingdom people at home, in the community, with people that we find difficult to love and appreciate and be around. God, we thank you for your church, for the ministry that First Press here is in Milford. Bless the leaders, the staff, those who worship and call this place home. With this we ask, in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Amen.